I've got a poem that was read to me often by my father, and I went back and read it this week because I thought that could fit in with what we're trying to cover today. I reread the entire poem, and I thought, should I read this whole thing to the church? And after rereading it, I thought, no, I probably shouldn't. But I will read to you the last stanza. And this is Little Orphan, not Orphan, Little Orphaned Annie by James Whitcomb Riley. I don't know if any of you have heard that, but it ends this way. And Little Orphaned Annie says, when the blaze is blue, and the lamp wick sputters, and the wind goes woo, and you hear the crickets quit, and the moon is gray, and the lightning bugs in dew is all squenched away, you'd better mind your parents and your teachers, fond and dear, and cherish them that loves you, and dry the orphan's tear, and help the poor and needy ones it clusters all about, or the goblins will get you if you don't watch out. Yeah, thanks, Dad. You'd better mind your parents, the poem says. That poem was read to us boys often. It's not uncommon for different cultures to implement different figures to inspire, usually by way of fear, obedience in children. Legends of monsters or boogeymen can be found really the world over. Hans Christian Andersen's stories were meant to inspire a moral code of sort in youngsters. Or even locally, not 150 years ago from right now, parents told exaggerated stories of the local mountain man, John Johnson, better known as Liver-Eating Johnson, who would come for disobedient children on the prairie if they weren't behaved. Now, what all of these share in common is the underlying assumption that children should be well behaved. They should obey and honor their parents. And though I can't vouch for fear as a valid motivation, I agree with the notion. Children should honor their parents. And this is no pagan idea, something constructed in recent history, invented so that mom and dad can get the kids off to bed and finally have a portion of an evening restful for themselves. Today's text shows us otherwise. This fifth commandment is reflective of God's heart for people. And we need to take it very seriously. So I'm going to read it now. And I would invite you, if you're not already in Exodus chapter 20, please turn there now. Or you're welcome to just listen as I read verse 12. And for those of you who are there and those of you who are just listening, would you all please stand with me out of honor for God's holy word. Exodus 20 verse 12 says this. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. May God bless both the reading and the hearing of his word. You may be seated. My proposition today, again, not getting points for creativity, but not trying to reconstruct the wheel, is this. Honor your parents. We are choosing to present all of these as imperatives because that is the way God presents them, as imperatives. So today's proposition is honor your parents. We are about to look closely at this fifth commandment. And you probably noticed already that there are two parts to the commandment. First, there is the commandment itself. Honor your father and your mother. But then there is the promised result that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Wherever you are today, this commandment is for you, regardless of your life situation. No, no, not for me, you say. I've been out of the house for years. Or I barely talk to my parents. This can't be for me. Well, if that's where you are, or maybe my parents don't even know what they're doing. I don't even respect them. They don't deserve honor, so I'm not going to show them honor. This commandment is surely not for me. I will contend that it is for you. It is for you and it is for me. It is for all of us. It is even for the orphan and the fatherless. We are dealing with God's unchanging, always applicable law, right? We needy, sinful creatures need this commandment, even if we don't understand why we need it. we can rest that we do need it. God is speaking to us through His Word, so let's let everything fall into place when God speaks. And we are expectant that God will meet us and change us through this fifth commandment. Commandment, resulting promise. We're going to look at each of those in turn, each connected to a main point. Honor your father and your mother, point one, looking at the actual commandment. We honor our parents to honor God. We honor our parents to honor God. When I say honor God, you may be wondering why. What do I mean, honor God? My parents aren't God. We've already been commanded to honor God. This is about honoring our parents. Well, consider some things with me. First, consider the placement of this commandment. Now, God did not take 10 rules, throw them in a shoebox, and shake them up and dump them out in random order, and that's just the way we got them. No, he gave them to us in an intentional order, the way He wanted to give them. We can see reason for the order when we look at them. Now, historically, the church has largely understood that God gave these 10 words in what's called two different tables, two different broad categories, the first and second table of the law. The first table dealt with the person's relationship to God. Worship Him alone. No images attached to worship. Hold His name high. Honor His day, His way. Those are the first four, the first table. But the second table deals with how the person interacts with other people. Honor your parents. Don't murder. No adultery, no theft, no lying, no coveting. Those are all person-to-person offenses. Love God, love your neighbor. Maybe you've heard that somewhere. 1 through 4 and 5 through 10, you see. So this is the historic understanding of the law. Now, with that in mind, consider the placement of the fifth. The first table started with the necessary foundation, didn't it? You shall have no other gods before me. If that is not in place, no other commandments matter, right? No other gods, Him alone. That is foundational to the rest of the commandments. The fifth commandment, likewise, is something of a foundation for the second table. There are many ways you must interact with people, and at the head of them all, foundationally, honor your father and your mother. If you are leading people on a trip or hosting some event where you have maybe safety rules that you have to put out to the people, you generally start with the biggest, most important rule, right? Rule number one, you know, always listen to me, for example. So regarding how we treat each other, this fifth commandment is the first rule, so to speak. Honor your father and your mother. So we do see God's heart and where He placed this commandment. We'll talk about that more. But second, consider the word honor. This word, biblically speaking, is normally reserved for referencing honoring God for His glory. And at its root, it means weighty, as in heavy. It's very heavy. It means then, treat your parents according to the weight of their authority. There is weight attached to their office and their responsibility. They have what you might call gravitas. They hold a weighty office, and so you, regarding them, needs to reflect that weight. So, we no doubt have many lingering questions about honoring father and mother, but here at the onset, we can certainly say, God desires that we honor our parents. God wants that of us. This was not Moses' idea. This was not simply a good plan for keeping the peace. The God of all creation, who made heaven and earth, desires that people give honor to their fathers and to their mothers. This is His heart for us. It is important to Him. Part of His plan. Let me show you just a couple places from Scripture where we see evidence for this. Deuteronomy 21 says this, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of this city, 'This, our son, is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. And all Israel shall hear and fear. Yeah, I bet. Leviticus 20. Anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood is upon him. Those are just a couple examples. God was fashioning a holy people, and part of being a holy people means honoring your parents. So, since this command comes from God, even with our questions still lingering, since this command comes from God, we say that to honor our parents is a way of honoring God. We obey His commandments, and thus we bring honor to Him. So, think about that. When you honor your parents, you are honoring God. When you dishonor your parents, you are disobeying and dishonoring your God. Because God is the one who has said to do this, and He requires obedience. And I think, oh boy, are we guilty of this. I reflect on my own childhood, talking back, rolling my eyes, speaking badly about my parents to my brothers and to my friends, resenting my parents for giving me work to do, how dare they, lying to them, stealing from them, mocking them behind their back. I have not historically been a great son, especially in the past. I have broken this law. Sometimes I still do. So if we're thinking, well, this is the one commandment for kids, right? This is just for children, not adults. Well, let's look. I have bad news if that's your notion. If you thought you could skip over five, commandment five, because you're 18 or older, sorry. All of the Ten Commandments are repeated or restated in the New Testament in some way, and the fifth is no exception. But look at who breaks the fifth commandment in Matthew chapter 15. The Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God." Let me sum up. There's a little bit confusing language. The Pharisees were neglecting to care for their aging parents. That's what was going on here. They were taking money that should have gone to supporting their parents and giving it to other causes, even good causes. Here, Jesus cites the breaking of the fifth commandment for their sin as adults. So can we still break this, grown-ups? Oh, yes, we can. No one is off the hook here. So kids here today, you do definitely listen up because this is for you. Adults here today, please definitely listen up because this is for you. It might look a little different depending on your age and where you're at in life, but this is for us all. This first point doesn't answer every question we have about the fifth commandment, but it does answer the big question, the why question. Why should we obey? Because it is God's desire. Our Lord requires it of us. We'll talk more about the details, but understand that all authority comes from God. Romans 13 tells us that. It is all delegated from Him, and so we have to consider the source of this commandment. So hear this, there is a direct connection between honoring our parents and obeying our God. A direct line. You cannot dishonor your parents and live a life fully pleasing to the Lord at the same time. And you may be thinking, easy for you to say, right? You probably had great parents, I bet. You had both parents in the picture, maybe. I bet your parents never hurt your feelings or let you down. I bet they never fell through on promises. I bet your parents never gave themselves away to alcohol or to other people. They never betrayed each other. They never hurt you. God must have some sort of ideal, perfect family in mind here with this commandment, but that's just not my reality. In reality, parents disappoint their kids. They let them down. They go away. They're selfish. They're not worthy of my honor, you may be thinking today. God must not have me in mind for this fifth commandment. Oh, yes, he does. He certainly does. I want you to notice not just what is there with the fifth commandment, but what is missing. Here's what's missing. There are no qualifiers. There are no footnotes. There are no asterisks. There are no caveats. There are no stipulations or exemptions. There's nothing saying, if your parents are this good or more, you honor them. But if not, don't worry about it. That's not there. We can't put in the Bible what God didn't. Now, Scripture also forbids us from lying, if I can get ahead of myself. So we aren't expected to paint an inaccurate picture of our parents, praising them in areas where they consistently failed. We are not asked to do that. However, we must have it firm in our minds that we always honor our father and mother wherever and however we can. That is in place. And isn't God good that he didn't just command this, but he modeled it for us? I want you to consider the boy, Jesus. The boy, Jesus. Left behind in Jerusalem, found in the temple, and after his parents regain him, we read this in Luke chapter 2. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. That is an important detail. God in the flesh submitted to sinful creatures he created. Jesus was a good boy. He submitted to his parents, thus honoring them and the authority that God had given them. And he was not just a good boy, he was a good teenager and a good man in all he did. Jesus honored his parents the whole of his life, even in his last moments, dying on the cross for the crimes of sinners. What did Jesus do? John 19 tells us, and what a powerful human moment this is. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Jesus made sure that his mother would be cared for after he was gone. He honored her as one of his last acts before death. And the Bible records that. Look, that didn't end up in the Bible by mistake. The Spirit of God put it there. The Bible records that. You can say, hey, wait, whoa. He's paying for the sins of people here. Do we really need details like making sure his mother had a care provider? Yes, we need those details. He was obedient even to the point of death. He never stopped being obedient to God's commands, and that included this often overlooked command to honor your father and your mother. Now, why did I mention Jesus? That seems like kind of a cheap shot, doesn't it? Why did I bring him into this? He was obedient. He honored his parents. I get it. Thanks for making us all feel bad. Jesus is perfect. We are not. Why mention that? Why does Jesus and his obedience, what does Jesus and his obedience have to do with me and my struggle to honor my parents? I bring up Jesus and his obedience to the fifth commandment because he is our only hope in our disobedience to the fifth commandment. He is our only hope in our disobedience to the fifth commandment. You're right. We have all broken this commandment. And our disobedience, when we read Scripture, it renders us guilty according to God's perfect law. But Jesus honored his father and mother always. Isn't that good news for people who are trusting in his work? He honored them perfectly, and he did it to fulfill God's perfect law and to earn righteousness for us. So think about this. Every time Mary said, "Jesus, come here," and he said, "Yes, mother," and obeyed, every time that happened, it counted as righteousness for us. It's all relevant. Every detail of his life mattered, including honoring mom and dad. We don't always keep the fifth commandment, but Jesus did. And that matters for people because our only hope of salvation is to trust in Jesus' perfect life and sacrificial death in our place. It matters that he came running when he was called. It matters that he never disrespected Joseph and Mary in person or behind their back. It matters that he cared for his mother in her old age. We have broken these 10 commandments, haven't we? So I don't know about you. So far, I am 0 for 5. 0 for 5. And everyone, every commandment, including this one, forces us to raise our heads and look to Jesus, the only one to ever keep them perfectly, thus earning us favor with God in heaven. When you fail to keep this commandment, and you will, and you have, begin by looking to the Savior, thanking him for his honoring of his earthly parents. Oh, pursue obedience, certainly. Certainly we pursue obedience, but look to Jesus for your bedrock and your source of salvation. So if you want to honor God, you must honor your parents, because that honors God, the lawgiver. But secondly, we honor our parents for all of life. And now we're considering the promise a bit more. We honor our parents for all of life. You will live long in the land. Here we find some more specific details about this commandment. We honor our parents for all of life. Now, this formula seems to say that if a child makes a habit of honoring their parents, things will go well for them in the rest of their lives. This concept of living long in the land, that is a Hebrew way of saying have an abundant life. It doesn't mean every obedient child will live to be 100 years old. It is communicating the general truism that people who consistently honor their parents generally live a more abundant life. Now, why is that? And is that true? Yes. It is true. Thank you. First of all, we are more than safe to say that God has an intended structure for the family. He has an intended purpose for the family. God cares about family. A dad and a mom who are present, who raise a child in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is God's intention for family. And not just back then. This fifth commandment, like the others I mentioned, is repeated in the New Testament by both Jesus and by Paul, but with very little change from the original, interestingly. Look at what Paul says in Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. This is repeated for Christians under the new covenant. This is for us. Let that be clear. With very little change from the original, this is for us. People, still honor your father and mother. And there are still long-term positive effects of this. That it may go well with you and that you will live long in the land. It's almost like Paul is saying that my relationship to my parents somehow stretches out and into every part of my life. That it informs how I will do the rest of my life, whether I'm in or out of the home. That it may go well with you all your days. Now here's why this is true. The God-honoring family is meant to be foundational to everything else in society. That's not political rhetoric, that's biblical truth. The God-honoring family is meant to be foundational to everything else in a society. Think about this. The relationship between the parents and the child, think about this, is the starting point for all other relationships. Have you ever thought about that? And God designed it that way. A child's first human relationship is with his or her parents. A child's dependency is upon his or her parents. A child learns from his or her parents. A child receives care and safety from their parents. A child is fed and kept warm at the hands of their parents. A child interacts with authority first with their parents. Your parents were your first conversation partners, your first teachers, your first theologians, your first judge, jury, and executioner of discipline. Before you left home, when you have left home, mom and dad were there. Before you graduated high school, your parents were there. Before you learned long division, they were there. Before you ran outside to play with the neighbor kids, mom and dad were there. Prior to riding a bike, they were there. Before you could walk, talk, or do a thing for yourself, parents were there. Your relationship with your parents is foundational to all other relationships. And as the foundational human relationship, God wants it to go well so that the others will also go well. Thus, Christians have, throughout history, taken the family very seriously. This is nothing new. I'm in the beginnings of a church history class right now at seminary, and this is a major emphasis of the early church. They loved and treasured the family and made a big deal of it in such a way that Rome did not know how to respond. If you want to disrupt a society, start at the foundation. Go after the family. Because that's where everything starts. It is God's intention that children be brought up in this family environment of honoring mom and dad, who in turn are supposed to be striving to honor God. And I know that that's not always the case. I know that not all parents do a bang-up job. I'm under no delusions here. We're speaking quite generally here. I am not ignorant to broken homes and other forms of sadness that exist in families. But from our relationship with parents, all other relationships are meant to fall into place. Relationships with teachers, local authorities, friends, your employers, on and on. Scripture talks about giving honor and submitting to other entities in life, doesn't it? Not just certainly parents, but not just parents. We don't just honor our parents. God says we are to honor the government he has appointed, 1 Peter 2 and Romans 13. But not just governments, our employers deserve our honor, Ephesians 6. Additionally, God says that church leaders are worthy of our honor, 1 Timothy 5 and Hebrews 13. So let me summarize. Honor begins at home, but grows into every other area of our life. Augustine said this, "If anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare?" It's a fair question. If you can't show honor to your first test subjects, your parents, who are the foundation for all other relationships, is there anyone he will spare? So, do you want that things will generally go well for you in your life and in the land? You've got to manage all of your relationships in a godly way. All of them. And they can all be traced back to the foundation of your relationships, that with your parents. Now, we know that this is the norm and not the exception. I've known wonderful parents with children who rebelled. And I've known very poor parents with kids who turn out great. There are many providential factors in someone's life, but here we see God's heart for the family as a general norm. If you desire to have good relationships outside the home, you must start in the home. That's the idea behind the promise attached to this commandment, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, some of you have probably been thinking this entire time, doesn't he know about the heartache that exists in some homes? Doesn't he know that parents don't always stay together? And if they do, they don't necessarily seek to honor God in their raising of children. Doesn't he know that? I'm aware. I'm aware broken homes have affected our family as well. I know not everyone had a great dad, a loving mom. I know that not everyone had perfect parents. In fact, no one did. I browsed statistics on fatherlessness in broken homes this week, and it's horrible. It's terribly sad. None of us found it an absolute joy to honor mom and dad growing up, at least not consistently. But if you come from that broken home, or maybe you haven't talked to your parents in months or years, or maybe death took them from you before you were able to fix things in the relationship, let God's word encourage you today. First, this way. God has given us each other. He has given us the church. We're more than like-minded individuals. Lean into one another. Jesus said, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? But the ones who do the will of my Father." That was in Matthew 12. And the church is likened to a family in the New Testament. God is our Father, Ephesians 3. And we are His sons and daughters, 2 Corinthians 6. That makes us siblings. And 1 Timothy 5 is very helpful. Look at this. This is in the context of a local church setting. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. I hope you'll join me in praying regularly that God would continue to fill in our family, bringing more spiritual fathers and mothers into it. Younger men, go to the older men for help, for fatherly advice and for counsel. Older men, seek out the younger men to whom you can provide that spiritual fatherly care. And the same goes for our ladies. None of us come from perfect families. We would all affirm that. None of us come from perfect families, but by the blood of Jesus, we are in a family now that is being made perfect. That is being made perfect for the day of Christ. This is a good setup for us because we need this. It's good for us and it's good for the world. Because people anywhere, regardless of the quality of their own family and their own upbringing, they can be welcomed into this family. They can be welcomed into God's family, where there's real help, where there's people seeking the Lord through Scripture, who are eager and ready to pray and provide care. Let the world see what God is doing in His family through the church. When we work toward conversion and seeing people brought to faith in Jesus, we aren't just convincing people of an ideology. No, we are welcoming them into God's family. Find rest with God's people. But on top of that, we must, and we can and we must find ways, whatever our situation is, to honor those to whom honor is due. We have to find ways to show honor. Many people here probably don't have a haven with your parents. You don't have trust, or maybe not much of a relationship at all. Some of us. And for those of us who have great relationships with parents, praise God for that. What a sweet gift. For those of you who don't, please know that there's always room to improve. And I know you probably know that better than me, because it may have been a years-long struggle. How are you going to honor your father and mother despite your situation? Well, let's think of the kids first, the younger kids, the ones still at home. All right, kids. I know, and I know this because I was a kid, okay? I'll tell you about that sometime. I know that you don't always want to obey mom and dad. I know that sometimes they tell you to do things that you'd rather not do. You know, I don't want to come inside for bed. Didn't you notice the sun is still up? For example, I don't want to eat that. That's not my favorite food. We've been through this. That's not my favorite food. You know this. And the list goes on. And I don't want to wear those clothes. I don't want to go run these errands. Whatever. I know that. And I want to tell you a couple things. And first is this. Your parents are a gift from God to you. Your parents are a heavenly gift to you. They really are. I want you to think about this. God gave you people who have lived a lot longer than you. They have gained wisdom. So they know what's dangerous. They know what's good for you. They know what's bad for you. And they have a really hard job. All the parents said amen. Their hard job is to help you, kids. Their job is to help you go from being a young person to being a grown-up. We all grow up someday, and God gives us the good gift of parents to help us along the way. And now part of that is they are in charge, and that's a part of God's good plan. So, if you love God, if you trust God, we receive these gifts from Him, and we say, okay, God, this is your setup. I want to view my parents as a good gift, and I want to show them honor for what they are doing for me. So, you may disagree with their choices sometimes, or maybe you don't understand their rules. I remember that. I don't understand the reason behind this rule. Even then, I want you to remember that God in heaven commands you to honor your father and mother. So that means you need to say things like, yes, dad, and yes, mom, a lot. Because they are looking out for you. And this is the good news. If God's promises are true, and they are, If his promises are true, you will be more ready to live a good life if you honor your parents. That's God's promise. So, kids, think about that, please. Now, what about us, adults? Our parents are maybe out of sight, out of mind. We're doing our own thing over here. We know from Jesus rebuking the Pharisees that honoring our parents is for all of life. Adults can violate this commandment. So if you have a relationship with your parents, I would urge you to form good habits with them. Honor them however you can. Call them. Call them. Just call them with some regularity. Take an interest in their lives. That honors them. Thank them. Have you ever thanked your parents for simply the fact that you're still alive? and that they managed to get you enough food and water and shelter that here you are still today? Look, no parents did a perfect job, but they did raise you. Or whoever the parental figure in your life was, whether it be grandma or aunt and uncle, whoever. Thank them for raising you. Despite all their imperfections, have you shown gratitude to them? You can honor them this way. And if they aren't around or they never were, just find the next best thing and do that. Thank grandma. Thank your aunt and uncle. Thank the people who were around when mom and dad weren't. The heart of the fifth commandment is showing honor where honor is due. So show it where you can. Watch how you talk about them. Even now, I'm tempted to look back on aspects of my childhood with disdain, and I more often than not just need to shut my mouth. I really do. I know my parents did the best they could with what they knew. There's a time and a place to talk about past wounds and faults, certainly, but I had better be quick to honor them as my default position. So honor them any way you can. And for many of us, and I know this is many of us, for many of us, honoring our parents is more of a missionary work. I know that. You're thinking, my parents are so far gone. They want nothing to do with my faith. Maybe they hate God. Our relationship is shallow at best. It may be that the most loving and honoring thing that you can do for your parents is to be a gospel missionary to them. That might mean hard conversations. It might mean saying no to certain invitations. It might mean risking upsetting them. It might mean trying to keep them from sinning like Jonathan did Saul. But they need to know, Mom and Dad, I love you and I want to honor you. And I believe the best way to do that is to devote effort toward introducing you to the Savior. Pointing you back to Scripture. What an honor. Really, what an honor. You may know of stories in which a child leads one or both of their parents to faith in Jesus. What an honor. To care enough about someone to fight for their soul. I know sitting back is easier, but that does not honor them. Honoring our father and mother is not always easy, but it is always right. It is always right. Now, I know the commandment is directed at sons and daughters, not parents. You know, it's going from the child to the parents, not parent to the child. But just the same, parents, work hard for your kids. You know this. Pray for them. Lead them. Be resolute for them. Be affectionate. And I'm learning this too as I go. We, fathers specifically, are called not to stir our children to anger. And yes, it's possible. And yes, it happens. Parents, we need to get in the habit early on of apologizing when we are wrong toward our kids. It happens. Don't let pride get in the way of this. I know we don't command their hearts, that's up for the Spirit of God, but we should work to make obedience as natural and easy as possible for our children. So, the bottom line for us today is this. God cares about our relationships with each other. And when we give honor where honor is due, we are ultimately honoring not just the people, but God in heaven. So let's go from here this week with a greater desire to show honor where honor is due in all spheres of life. And let's start in the home. Maybe you weren't raised with great habits. You can start some. You can start them today. Start in the home. May our showing honor be a strong testimony to a rebellious world and nation. May it strengthen our ties with each other and ultimately give God the glory and honor that He deserves. Let's pray together.